590 WKZO. It is the trifecta. They might be dancing in the streets in Motown, but not here.
Well,
especially in one place.
They're dancing in the streets because the traffic ain't moving. If you're on Lovell Street, headed westbound, if you're headed eastbound, you got a whole different problem. if you're headed westbound, you're going to be getting on to Park Street. That's the good news. The bad news is Park Street is one lane.
Choke you all up there?
These things choke me up.
Yes, they do.
Park Street is slow and backed up because it's down to one lane because they're
removing
grinding asphalt away. And Michael Nicholas, Mr. Computer.
And we just got two posts from our gal pal in Kalamazoo, too.
Park to
East Michigan, very slow. And that's West Michigan, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Very slow, and that's the reason why. They're grinding the pavement, and if you're on Lovell, you're being asked to join the parade.
To get on to the parade on Park Street.
Mm-hmm.
So avoid that schmozzle, as my mother-in-law would say.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's a good idea. So, well, turn us on and listen to us anyway.
Yeah.
We'll take you through.
Or dance in the street.
Or dance in the streets. So Raj, when you vote in the primary,
yes,
you know the primaries here in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Do you like pretend to be a Republican sometimes?
Well, I don't pretend, but I'm registered as a Republican because that's the primary I vote in.
So, and you know in Michigan you have to say which one you are.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. Editorial article. In the MLive, basically stipulates that maybe this isn't such a hot idea because
is this something that, does MLive do editorial pieces or is this a guest columnist? Who wrote this?
I'm thinking it's, let's look and see.
Ken Braun.
He's a legislative aide for a Republican lawmaker. Now he's a political consultant. He's a director of a policy for a political consulting firm. So I'm guessing what it is that this is an opinion / guest column. So,
yeah, okay.
Now, this was premised by what Speaker Bolger told MLive last week, that he said he didn't make a mistake helping Roy Schmidt go from being a Democrat to a Republican. He goes, and I'm going to use the quoting fingers here, thieving soldiers from the other party is an accepted part of political combat, according to the speaker. Now, we have heard this before from State Senator John Prost. He was here doing an interview with WKZO a while back, and he said that not only is Bolger doing this, but there have been other speakers who have done the same thing. They'll find a weak link in the Democrats or the Republicans and try to switch them to the other party. So this apparently is a political game. Now, Bolger said trying to switch Schmidt to the GOP was not a mistake. Where it was a mistake was trying to give Schmidt an easier road in by putting a, quote, fake Democrat in his place on the ballot. And when what happened, Schmidt ended up losing to a real Democrat. And so though he is no longer a state representative. We have partisan primaries in the state of Michigan for a while now. You have to say whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It's fun because if you're a dyed in the wool Republican, okay, this gives you the opportunity to vote Democrat and try to choose somebody who would probably lose to your candidate in the fall. That can happen. You can block vote. You know, and say, well, okay, I'm a card-carrying Democrat, but you know what? I'm going to revote in a Republican primary because there's two people there, one of which will lose to my guy or my gal in the fall. So that's the one I want on the ballot against them. So it kind of...
It's called strategic voting.
Strategic voting, yeah, and it's a possibility.
And but John wants to talk about this, and he's taking... some exception to my voting in the Republican primary.
Yeah, but I do it too.
There was a time when Fred Upton was a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was a reasonable person, the decision who was going to be elected was made in the Republican primary, mm-hmm. because back then it was for sure the Republican nominee was going to win. And so I got started voting Republican so I could keep a moderate in office. Versus Hogan Dyke and a whole bunch of other people.
You don't like that, John?
Personally, I'm dead set against it. I think it corrupts the election process. I think I won't vote for anybody in the primary if I won't vote for them if they make it to the final round. And to me, it's, and I hate disagreeing with Roger. It's probably the first time in at least 3 years that I disagreed with him.
Well,
but I think it corrupts the elective process. And just like what Bolger did, maybe not, it's not at that level, but it's the same kind of tactics that this screws the political process up.
Well, and we've been doing this for several years.
Yes.
This was changed, and this is the way that we do things. We have a partisan primary, and where you have to decide whether you choose a Republican or Democrat, and you have to tell them that before you go into the voting booth, so they give the proper ballot.
But you are not duty bound then in the final election to now vote Republican because you're registered as Republican.
No, that's true. No, you can and that a lot of people do that. They'll mix their ticket up completely. But what this guy is saying is he's saying that partisan primary rules are wrong. We have to stop asking. We have to stop the policy of saying, okay, if you vote in the primary, you have to either vote Republican or you have to vote Democrat. You can't split your vote. So, in other words, what this gentleman is saying, Ken Braun, is that we have to operate the primary election just like we operate the general election.
Does that solve your problem, John, if everybody can go down the primary ballot and vote for whomever they want without consideration of party?
I'm not sure. I think it comes down to your moral center. And my moral center wouldn't allow it. It really would make a little difference to me.
Okay. And that's perfectly legitimate, and I applaud you for that, because there are a lot of voters in Michigan who will do that. However, there are a lot of voters in Michigan who don't, and I mean, we know because we've talked to some before. We know that it's out there, and it's not illegal to do that because they don't ask you for your membership card when you vote. So, but thanks, John. We appreciate it. I see his point.
I do too.
And it's a very legitimate one. But I'm thinking if you take the temptation away, then those Republicans who, if you've got two candidates, okay, say, and I'm going to take the two that I can remember. You have a Republican primary where we had Fred Upton and Jack Hogendyke running in the primary. Okay,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How many Democrats switched over in the primary to possibly vote for Jack Hogendyke because they knew that a Democrat could possibly beat Jack in the regular election as opposed to beating Fred? So that's what I was talking about. If you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, but the state's giving you a license to vote Republican because you feel like you could have a hand in possibly winning the election for your guy or your woman, because the simple fact of the matter is, if there's two candidates there and one that you know your candidate can beat, then why wouldn't you cross over and vote for that person? Why wouldn't you get everybody you could to go over and cross over and vote for that person?
Isn't the purpose of free elections so you can use your vote to accomplish what you think is best?
Oh, I'm not
for
saying it's illegal.
But isn't it supposed to be used to accomplish what you think is most important for your state or city, whatever election
you
it
would
is?
I hope so.
You're supposed to use your vote for the most desirable outcome, in my mind.
Yeah, you would hope so.
And I don't see that being linked to a political party. But I really don't have any political party orientation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm most likely aligned with Democrats, mm-hmm. but I voted for Republicans in the past. I just said there was a time when I voted for Fred Upton.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be.
By the way, we have another traffic update. We've gotten a text. The backup on the one lane on Park Street is now back to Crosstown Parkway. That's how far it has gone back. So what you want to do is if you're moving north on Park Street and haven't gotten to the hill yet, you're going to want to get off at the White's Road, Cork Street, that area. The next place to go would be at the bottom of the hill. On Maple Street, but if you go past Maple Street, then there is no, you're going to get caught in it. So northbound Park, one lane due to pavement removal. They are routing people off of westbound Lovell onto northbound Park, and now Park Street is backed up to Crosstown Parkway. So if you're headed northbound on Westnage, you're going to want to get off before you even get to the hill. Because once you get down the hill, you have one option, and that's Maple Street. Maple Street would either take you over to Oakland Drive or possibly, Crosstown Parkway. Or you could go Maple Street over to Burdick. But if it's backed up to Crosstown, it's going to back over Crosstown here pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, hi, Bob.
Hey, one of the great crossovers was in 2000 when John Engler was George Bush's Michigan campaign manager, and he assured Bush that he would win the state of Michigan. And a lot of my friends and I crossed over and voted for John McCain in the primary. And I like to think that we ended John Engler's political career, because he did not end up as an appointee in Bush's administration and did not end up as a senator from the state of Michigan. And I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, as long as you have to declare, and as long as you can't vote on both sides, I disagree somewhat with John. I don't think it's corrupting. I think it makes it a lot harder for people who are placing odds and trying to figure out who's going to win an election when you can't necessarily guarantee that a lot of people from another party aren't going to cross over.
It's almost like, you know, you guys made the rules. We're following the rules.
That's I didn't do anything wrong.
That's right. Exactly. No, I agree with you, Bob. 100%. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. Thanks. I appreciate it. There's nothing wrong with it.
I agree with Bob completely. Yeah. You should use your vote to accomplish what you think is best for whatever election you're in. Another traffic note. Southbound on US 131, as you approach I-94, a large computer desk has fallen off a vehicle and is laying in the highway. And people are swerving to avoid said desk.
Okay.
And you should be careful to avoid the desk and the people swerving to avoid
the
desk.
This is southbound 131 getting ready to exit on I-94.
Yeah, just to the north of
exit 34.
Yeah,
okay.
131 or of 94.
Okay. All right, well, we'll put that one up too. I think Ken Braun has a good point. This would end all of the hanky-panky, but it's all legal hanky-panky. So what can I tell
you? It's the way the game is played.
Thank you. Hey, we've got a listener-generated topic coming up.
Ooh.
A listener-generated topic.
I like
good.
That. Yeah.
I did not know this. You're going to all learn something coming up on the trifecta. 590 WKZL. This is the trifecta. Roger, Jim on this Wednesday. No show tomorrow, or at least not a full show anyway, as the Twins take on the Tigers in an afternoon getaway game, 1240, 105 first pitch on 590 WKZO, so we will be gone. A couple of traffic updates we probably should bring to you. Westbound Lovell being detoured onto northbound Park, and then northbound Park is down to one lane because of pavement removal. We've gotten the indication that northbound Park is now backed up all the way to Crosstown Parkway. So if you're headed north on Westnage, essentially, you're going to want to get off at Cork Street or White's Road. Or if you go to the bottom of the hill, if it hasn't reached that far yet, Maple Street is available. But once you get past Maple Street, there is no other place other than the crosstown. So you're going to get caught in a mess. So stay away.
Yeah.
Find another alternate route. And also, southbound 131 near mile marker, well, not mile marker, exit 34, which is the entrance onto I-94, there is a computer desk laying in the road, and drivers are swerving at 70 miles an hour to miss it. So you need to be aware of the fact there's a desk in the road, unless they've removed it. And if you're driving past there and you see that it has been sent off to the side or something, give us a text or when you're safe, or call us at 382-4280 and let us know that it's out of the road. And then we'll let everybody else know. But apparently it's in the road and people are swerving around it. So you not only want to miss the desk, but you want to miss those people who are swerving around the desk.
You think?
So, yeah, a little.
Yeah.
All right. So I get this text. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We get texts on stuff all the time.
Yes.
But this one, let's see, where is it at? Okay. So get back here. Sorry for changing the topic. What do you think of the new law? It's not actually a new law. It's 2005. Requiring all students in all classrooms to be taught about the Constitution all day on September 17th, Constitution Day. And so I looked it up. And you know what? In May of 2005, there was an article that the Education Department outlined that it was going to enforce a little-known provision that Congress passed in 2004. The Constitution pretty much is ensured, you know, all these years. The Congress can't tell schools what to teach except for this. Every school and college that receives federal money must teach about the Constitution on September 17th, the day the document was adopted, back in 1787. They have to hold, they can decide what program they want to do, Raj,
mm-hmm.
but they have to, and if the 17th falls on a weekend or a holiday, schools have to schedule a program immediately before or after that date, either on Friday or Monday. Okay?
Yeah.
Not only do schools have to, but it also affects all federal agencies. They have to train new employees about the Constitution during orientation and train all employees about the document every September 17th.
Now, because of the sequester, are they only going to teach people about part of the Constitution this year?
No, the whole thing.
Well, no, they're going to have to cut back.
No, not this part. No.
We have to sequester.
Well, this sequester is not going to hit this.
Well, but some people aren't going to be at work that day.
Well, then if they're not at work, then they miss it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because of that. In that case, yeah, if the sequester says, so, you know, maybe there is a benefit to the sequester. You don't have to hear them drone on about the Constitution. Because I would like to know how the federal government's going to teach the Constitution to its employees without boring them to death.
Well, and who would promote this? Conservatives would be opposed because this is a federal government mandate telling local governments what to do on a day.
Well, according to this, it was the late Senator Robert Byrd.
He's a Democrat.
He was a Democrat.
I'm just thinking who would be in favor and who would be opposed to this.
Well, I can't imagine anybody would be opposed to learning about the Constitution.
Wouldn't conservatives be offended at a federal mandate coming down to local schools telling them what they have to do on a particular date? Where are our state's rights?
Well, they get flushed down the toilet when it comes to September 17th. Yeah, and this year I think September 17th is on a the 1st, the 8th, I think it's a Tuesday this year.
Oh.
So
we should do a trifecta on the Constitution that day.
You know what we should do? We should do constitutional issues.
Yes.
That's what we should do.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
talk
what we should do.
Talk about potential amendments.
Yeah, and, you know, things like that. And, you know, maybe bring somebody in from the ACLU because, after all, they protect the Bill of Rights, and that's a part of the Constitution.
Yeah.
That would go over well.
Yeah, we could read through the Bill of Rights.
And the thing is, once we get back into school, I'm going to have to call a couple of school districts and say, are they really going to do this? Because they're supposed to. I mean, is the federal government going to send around the Constitution police to make sure? And more importantly, Roger,
mm-hmm.
more importantly, is the President of the United States going to gather his cabinet together?
And teach them about the Constitution.
Talk to them about the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, he's a constitutional expert.
Yes, he is.
That's what he taught at college.
There you go.
So have the whole country.
Maybe he should go on television and radio and talk about it, I think.
He'll join the trifecta that day.
There you go. CBS and local news next. 590 WKZO. Trifecta brought to you in part by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. And by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com. We got a post that apparently the desk is gone.
Okay, good.
Which is good.
Hey, I just found an article that I'm going to spend the next half hour reading, so I'm not going to be able to participate. The title is, it's a study, and the more sex you have, the more money you make. And that sounds like some powerful reading, so I may not have time to chit-chat.
Why don't you send it to me? We'll just, you know.
The more sex you have, the more money you make.
Really now?
I think this explains many things in my life.
Yeah, well, mine too. So let's...
So if I don't respond, I'm busy.
There you go. Oh, we caught. There we go. There you go. I thought I'd better. Okay. So I didn't know if you knew this, but the state of Michigan is now using a color-coded system, a Crayola approach, as it were, to schools.
That works so well for the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, I know. So the colors are green, lime, yellow, orange, and red. Almost looks like a Trix box. Almost. So if your school gets a green, it's good. If it gets a red, it's bad. There are specific goals that schools have to reach. You're laughing over there.
Well, I had a caller.
Is this something we can talk about on the air?
Nope.
Okay. It's always nice to ask.
Yeah.
You have to achieve specific goals in order to earn points, and the more points they score, the higher they score on the color scale. Okay. Apparently, this is the new and improved evaluation tool that the state of Michigan is going to use, emphasis on tool. In no Kalamazoo County High School got above a yellow. By the way, you can find this story to it at WKZO.com.
So we have not one lime school in Kalamazoo County?
No, we do not. Portage Northern, Portage Central, Gull Lake, Galesburg, Augusta, and Climax Scotts all hit yellow.
They achieved yellow.
Yes, which attained at least 60% of the goals, but less than 70% of or possible points.
So that would be like a C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
Nobody got A's or B's.
No. Okay. Not in this area.
Okay.
Loy Norix and Kalamazoo Central both got orange, which is at least 50%, but less than 60% of total points.
That's a D.
Now, if you were on a teacher's grading scale, that would be an E. Because usually 60% is the benchmark for an E.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So you have to. Now, Comstock got a red.
And so did Mattawan.
But Mattawan's not in Kalamazoo County, so I have to make note of that. They have students from Kalamazoo County.
Yeah.
But they're not a Kalamazoo County, so to speak. But Mattawan and Comstock in this area.
Now, I'm sort of surprised. I always thought Mattawan had a really good reputation.
Me too.
And yet they're one of the worst schools in the area. Really?
Yeah. Now let's go over to Battle Creek.
Okay.
Harper Creek and Marshall, both yellow. Lakeview is orange. Battle Creek Central in the red. Don't know about Penfield because it's not on here.
Yeah.
None made it to the top of the scale.
How about in the state? Were there any good grades?
I don't know. I will look.
That would be interesting to me. If we have determined that all the schools are failing or getting C's or lower, then that would suggest there is something amiss in the system. There ought to be a bell-shaped curve in this, unless you're measuring against pretty specific standards.
Yes, I'm looking.
So,
here.
What's the top color was green?
Green. Look, an unexpected error has happened. I can't get to it.
Try it again.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, if you keep trying those things, the unexpected error goes away. Okay. And it did.
All right, here we go.
Zeeland.
Okay, here are the schools. There's a bunch of schools that got green.
Yeah.
Let's look and see if
where they are. Zeeland.
I was trying to look for high schools here. Ashley High School. Big Rapids Public School, whatever.
Wait a minute. The Detroit schools? Wait. Back up. That's pretty amazing. Where did I see Detroit in that? Yeah, right. Detroit City School District. Benjamin
Carson School for Science and Medicine.
Got an A.
Yeah.
They're a green school.
Yes, they are.
In Detroit.
Imagine
all we
that.
Ever do is point out the bad things in Detroit and Kwame's criminal endeavors. There's good stuff there, too.
Detroit Innovation Academy.
Gets a green.
Yes.
Escanaba Schools got a green.
Okay, so Greenwood Elementary School in Kalamazoo Public got a green.
Buena Vista Schools.
They don't.
Henry Door CDC.
They don't exist anymore.
Child Development. What does CDC stand for?
I don't know. Centers for Disease Control. All right, so let's keep going here. Let's look.
Petoskey.
We're looking for schools. Hamilton Sandy View Elementary School in Allegan County.
Grand Rapids Shawnee Park.
Oral Deaf Center. All right, here we go. This is the last page. Star Detroit Academy. That's three schools in Detroit.
That got green.
Yeah.
Something we couldn't achieve in any school in Kalamazoo County.
No. Greenwood Elementary got to be.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
A couple of schools in Zeeland and, that's
but fun. There's not a lot of schools from Kalamazoo County on this list.
No. Let's see something here. I'm looking red.
Oh, these are the failing.
The failing schools.
The absolute worst.
Yes, the worst schools.
Of the Michigan schools.
So.
Breckenridge Community Schools.
Yes, I'm looking for, Allegan Alternative High School is a red. Barkley Hills Education Center in Parchment. This is interesting.
I can save you some time.
Oh, John says he can save us some time.
Comstock Schools, Battle Creek Schools, Mattawan Schools all scored in the red.
Okay, that was the entire school district?
Just the high schools.
Just the high school. Okay. There's a lot of, I'm not so sure I like this color coding. Isn't this something new now?
No, actually, it's something the Homeland Security Department abandoned because it was confusing.
So, of course, the Michigan Department of Education picks it up.
Yep.
Right.
You certainly want to emulate failure. That's that's what you want to do to be successful.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I wish I had Roger for a teacher when I was in school, because by God, 60% in my day and age was a D or almost an F, and not a C. He said those in the 60-70% range was a C. He's full of crap.
No, we talked about that. We did. We talked about that. No, that when I taught, 60% was an E. 61
right.
was a D minus.
I thought you said, or somebody said, that was a C rating.
Oh, no, that it was average. It was, that it would have been average. But no, you're right.
I was equating each color to a grade. And green was the highest, and so that would be an A. And red would be the bottom, and that would be an F.
Don't they give a percentage on these, like orange or whatever?
Well, what the percentages are that they're talking about is you have to the possible points that you have,
right?
And there are criteria that you have to meet, and then if you meet those, you get so many points. And so if you're a red or a green school, you've met 85% or more of the points, possible points you could get.
An 85 is a B, not an A.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's just these other examples, Snyder and his dashboarding and matrixes or whatever that fancy word is he uses to try to fool and hoodwink the people.
Well, this is the Department of Education, so I don't know if you want to attribute that with him.
State of Michigan, right?
Yeah.
State of Michigan?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's under the governor's office. I mean, it's under the state.
It's under the executive branch. You're correct,
right,
George.
Yes, right. So it's Snyder trying to fool the people again. He's doing a good job.
Well, there's a lot of schools under the red here. There really are. Thanks, George. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, that I've looked there's a good number of schools on here, Raj, on this list, that are alternative high schools. And having a soft spot in my heart for alternative high schools, I can understand why they may be in the red, because you're getting students in an alternative high school that didn't make it in the general ed.
Yeah.
So they're coming in with like one strike already.
Yeah. Speaking of not, Michelle has a possible explanation.
I'm ready.
For why Matawan's high school didn't do so well.
I'm ready, Michelle.
This is a guess, but one of the things that they factor in to those color codes is the discrepancy between the high-achieving school and the low-achieving students. So the gap between the two. So your school can have lots of high-achieving students. Your whole school could be high-achieving, but if the gap is really big between the high-achieving and low-achieving, then you get dinged pretty hard.
Uh-huh.
So even though your whole population does really well, if you've got that big gap, then so like Matawan schools are really good schools and probably do really well overall, but their highs and their lows are real far apart. And that probably happens, you know, there's socioeconomic reasons for kids not doing well. So districts where you have like really high or like kids with higher economic, socioeconomic status versus kids with slower ones, you might have a bigger gap.
Do you remember, Michelle, when we talked about the schools that were given rather high grades because they had high numbers of free or reduced lunch programs? And they what they did was they factored that in and determined that some schools that had a high percentage of those students achieved maybe a lower level than maybe some other schools did, but because of their situation, they achieved higher?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that got rolled into this too.
That doesn't get rolled into this. Mm-hmm.
I think Michelle does bring up a concern over this approach.
No,
because a school that's listed as red, there's any number of reasons why. This infers that all of these schools are failing, and it would suggest for the same reasons. And you can be a red school and turn out some really good students, as Michelle suggests Matawan does, and you could have a bunch of students exclusively from lower socioeconomic stratus, and that's the reason you're red. And so there's no commonality in this color code system for why a school is rated as they are, and it's apples and oranges all thrown into the same stupid color code. By God, George was right.
Yeah. Michelle, let me tell you, the highest rated school on this list, by the way, Bloomfield Hills.
Well, of course, their socioeconomic status is really high.
Thank you. All right, thanks, Michelle. John's back in.
With headphones.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear what Roger's saying.
Oh, okay.
Self-defense.
Well, okay, I'm gonna use an example here. Self-defense.
No, we talked to a Matawan school official this morning, and he said one of the reasons they got dinged was because they had maybe 43 special education students. Only 38 of them took the test. It wasn't counted against them because how they scored, but simply because five of them didn't take the test. They fell below the criteria for the number of kids who should have taken the test.
Oh.
So it wasn't, you know, how they did on the test, but just the fact that 94.1% of the kids took the test instead of 95% that they lost the point.
So some of these red scores might be a little misleading then.
Some of the red scores may be misleading, and some of the green scores may be misleading too, because some of the schools that didn't exist last year are green this year in their first year simply because all their scores improved because there were no scores last year. So it's take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
What I was saying, John, is I think Michelle, when she called in, pointed out what's wrong with this, is that you can see a number of schools that were rated red, but you don't know there, all of those schools could be there for totally divergent reasons. They may not have anything in common with each other. And yet this simplistic color-coding system infers all the red schools have something in common, and they may not.
That's true.
Let me give you an example before we go to break.
More
quickly.
Crap.
Lakeside Academy on Oakland Drive is given a red score. It earned 8 out of 14 possible points. The population at the Lakeside Academy is unique and is unlike any other school in this area because of the student that they take in. Now, how do you compare the students that are there, because they're there not just for educational reasons, they're there for other reasons that are more important. How, you know, like you said, how can you compare them to, say, a Portage Northern or a Portage Central or a Lloyd Norris, or, you know, you don't generate it? I think you're right. The apples and oranges thing fits a lot.
Well, it's also in the first year, too, so they have a lot of bugs to work out. I'm not sure if all the school districts knew what the goals were they had to meet before, you know, the program kicked in.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't know what if you don't know how the game's played, you're not going to win. And that's what it comes down to with a lot of this stuff. If they just meet certain criteria, they can score high. Whether it has any academic, you know, value whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matter of not how you score on the test, but how many kids take the test.
Yeah. Well, and so what is the purpose of this color coding thing? What is it supposed to accomplish other than be a
talking point
for politicians?
Politicians setting goals for education.
Plus the
about it.
But if you don't set realistic goals, it's just more crap.
And they got the color coding system really cheap from Homeland Security.
Yeah, so, yeah, on Markdown.
Yeah, it is the trifecta. 590 WKZO is the trifecta as we get to wrap things up here. Carolyn Binder, Dr. Sports, on her way. She's going to have some fun tonight. 6 to 8 at Wings Etc. on Southwest Niche and Portage. Stop by, say hi. It's the High School Live Coaches Kickoff Show.
She's a good kid. She called in the desk in 131 her way out there.
All right. And the desk has been removed. So anyway, so if you're looking for some place to go, get great wings, drink specials, and find out what's going on in high school sports, especially football as it's coming up.
And just talk to Carolyn.
She's
a neat person.
She's fun to talk to. Yes, she is. So and again, that's 6 to 8 tonight on our sister station, 1660 The Fan, or you can go out there live at Wings Etc. on Southwest Niche. So have some fun. Indeed, indeed.
Cool.
So tonight, the Tigers will take on the Minnesota Twins, 6:40 airtime on 590 WKZO.
They
Tigers
play
trying
yesterday?
To bounce back. Yes, they did. And
oh, no! Oh. We suck again!
So yeah, are they 5.5 games?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. But they're still in first place.
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow is an afternoon game, which Roger likes. 12:40 airtime here on 590 WKZO. So if there is a show, it will be later in the afternoon, and it will I don't know who it's going to feature, truth to tell, because I will be gone tomorrow as well. I'm helping my daughter move.
Jay Morris.
Jay?
Yes.
Really?
The Jay Morris makes a guest appearance.
That almost make me want to come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Seriously. Well, I'm going to listen.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. But
okay.
I'm taking my dogs to a dog beach. Up near Muskegon.
Oh, we'll have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to romp in the water.
Yeah.
Will you romp in the water?
Nuh-uh. It's cold. You kidding?
So I will see you back here on Friday, my friend.
You betcha.
5 o'clock afternoon news is next on 590 WKZO. Have a great evening.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.